Hello, everyone, and welcome to Science Spinning, the show with an Irish spin on science with me, Sean Duke, here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Well, there have been gold rushes famously in California, Alaska, Canada, Australia and Brazil. But here in Ireland, we had our own gold rush in the years just before the 1798 United Irishmen Rebellion. We'll be talking to Pater McArdle, he's recently retired director of the Geological Survey of Ireland, about his new book called Gold Frenzy, which describes the Irish gold rush, which began with the chance discovery on the 15th of September 1795 of a half-ounce nugget of gold among the roots of a fallen tree. Hi, Pater.
Hi, Sean. Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you.
Okay, so maybe give people a little bit of background. I suppose the first thing, gold, I mean, why is it so sought after, do you think? You're a geologist, so is it very precious?
Well, it is, and of course, it's a very scarce component in the Earth's crust. I mean, it's present in concentrations equivalent to one part per billion. So it is really very, very finely disseminated in the Earth's crust, and you need a concentration of at least 1,000 times that before you get to anything that might be of any interest at all, whether commercial or otherwise. But, you know, why is it of interest? Well, I suppose mankind has used gold objects as symbols of kind of religious and civic power. They've used them for personal ornament, mm-hmm. For currency, and of course more recently industrial uses. But it's its durability, really, that's fantastic. I mean, it doesn't destroy easily.
Yeah.
And one of the interesting byproducts of that is, of course, that we don't lose an awful lot of historic gold. It tends to be recycled continually, and that's why, of course, we have so many gold shops in shopping centres around the country.
Sure,
right now.
At the moment, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
So our accumulation of gold continues over the years, and we keep on finding more, I suppose, and add to our stock.
We find more, and we don't lose. We still have 85% of whatever has been mined historically, and we're adding to that because about 2,500 tons of gold are mined in ores every year, mainly in South Africa, China and the US.
Mm.
And, you know, so we're adding to that. But if you put all the gold together that was ever mined, it would fit into 3 Olympic swimming pools, but it wouldn't quite fill the 4th swimming pool.
Nice.
So that'll give you some idea. It's not a huge amount of gold in bulk.
Gosh, yeah, when you think of films about Fort Knox and trying to rob the gold, you always think of much more gold than that being around.
Sure.
So, how is gold formed in the Earth's crust? Then, what's the geology of its formation?
Well, it's formed at some depth in the Earth's crust. You know, let me start again.
Sure. Yeah, take your time.
Putting
you on the spot here, Pater.
Why not? Hot fluids coming up through the Earth's crust tend to have small amounts of gold in them,
mm-hmm.
and wherever the gold, wherever those solutions preferentially migrate in fractures and things like that, you will tend to get them depositing some of their contents, including gold. So you'll get them in a wide variety of settings. Now, the setting for Wicklow,
yeah,
is quite
back to Ireland, of course,
actually,
yeah,
because in this case, we're looking at a volcanic setting because volcanoes were common around this part of the world at the time that the gold accumulated.
The granite, the Wicklow granite, people would know. That's a volcanic rock.
It would be below a volcano. Would be. And we're talking about rocks earlier than the Leinster granite, even. You know, we're going back 450 million years now, when Ireland would have been on the edge of an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have had one of these volcanoes, kind of like Montserrat, if you remember, in the 1990s.
I do.
It spewed out ash clouds which settled on the seas around it. And Wicklow would have been below water, maybe 200 metres of seawater or something at the time. So the ash would have all settled around it. And at that time, you began to get, because of the geothermal anomaly, the heat of the earth, the enhanced heat flow caused by the volcanoes and the volcanic activity, you began to get hot springs forming on the sea floor, and they spewed out these metals, rather like the images we got earlier in the year of the newly discovered hot springs in the mid-North Atlantic.
Yes.
You know, They're fairly well known from other oceans, but we just discovered
the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, where they have...
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And it was that kind of setting.
Yeah.
And of course, then, you know, the really interesting detective story was the follow-up from the finding bits of gold in the stream to where would the bedrock source, the mother lode of all this gold be?
Because where is it coming from? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And that was an early disappointment for the people involved, because just to take you back to 1795, the gold rush itself, I mean, obviously it was a very exciting event, but it only lasted a month. It was hugely exciting. It wasn't as big as some of the gold rushes you've mentioned, but it happened 50 years before they did. It was one of the earlier ones, and it had two things going for it. A, it wasn't regulated, so anybody could partake, and B, we weren't just talking about pinhead grains of gold.
Mm.
They could be decent size. You mentioned the initial one, half an ounce. They could be up to fist size.
Mm.
So very substantial. So this was really exciting for people. So although you had hundreds of gold diggers, some days you had thousands of spectators, and it created a kind of an enduring folklore, and it even inspired a contemporary London play.
Mm.
So
It was a big deal at the time in Wicklow, obviously. It was like a spectator sport, nearly.
Absolutely, it was. Mm. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the media were talking about, actually, just the day after all the interesting decisions in Brussels, you know, Ireland at the time was thought to be on the verge of newfound wealth because, of course, we had serious public debt problems then due to the British war with France, but we won't go into
that. Okay, that's an interesting connection. But can I ask you, this initial nugget then, I mean, it was just found at the roots of a fallen tree. How did it end up there?
What would have happened is the gold from whatever bedrock source would be released by weathering into the soil, and then it would make its way down into the stream, the side of the valley, with frost action and glacier action and stream erosion. All those things would allow the thing to accumulate in the stream bed.
Mm.
And one of the interesting aspects is that when we look at gold in the bedrock down there, it's always microscopic. You're talking micron scale, tiny, tiny stuff you can only see with a microscope. Yet you can get these nuggets. And of course, what happens is that as the grains of gold swirl around in a very active stream and bash around against other fragments of rock and so forth, an interesting thing happens. One of its other qualities comes into play. That's its malleability. So the grains begin to actually aggregate together, and that's how you actually build the nuggets that we talk about in Goldmine Valley. And the largest was 22 ounces, and it's reputed to have, well, it was given to George III, King George III,
mm-hmm.
and it was supposed to have been made into a snuff box, but 100 years after its presentation to King George III, some folks wrote to Windsor Castle. I think it was the predecessor of the National Museum wrote to Windsor Castle, but they didn't seem to be able to lay their hands either on the object or on any details about it. Sadly.
Right. There's always great stories around gold, isn't there? But just to give people an idea, I'm just looking at a map here, and it's this area we're talking about. It's between Ockram, Avoca, Woodenbridge, those kind of areas in South Wicklow.
Right. Yeah, it's on the main find was on the northeastern slopes of a mountain ridge. On the Ordnance Survey map, it's called Croghan Kinsale. The locals call it Croghan. So it's on that. So it's southwest of Woodenbridge village. Woodenbridge would have been the nearest village, I guess.
Okay. It. And of course, there's always the idea that, you know, the Celts had lots of gold ornaments and gold bracelets and lots of gold. And the question always was, where did they get this gold from?
Right.
Are we any closer to solving that?
Oh, we are. Colin, I've just been talking to the person who led the discovery, and that is Mary Cahill from the National Museum of Ireland in Kildare Street, where there's a wonderful exhibition on the gold artefacts. And she and her team, a multidisciplinary team, spent many years studying this, and they came to the conclusion that was publicized a few years ago that, in fact, the gold for the artefacts didn't originate in any of the established gold deposits we know about, but from streams on the western side of the Mourne Mountains.
All right, so the gold... It was Irish gold then. It was
Irish gold, yeah, right. It was. And using chemistry, they were able to match the chemistry of the grains and those in the streams up there to the chemistry of the gold in the artefacts.
Fascinating, and, yeah. And were you surprised by that connection with the Mourne Mountains?
I was, because I thought it might have been related to an area with a greater concentration of gold, you know, and perhaps with bedrock gold associated with it. You know, there isn't any known bedrock gold known from the Western Mourne as of now. Science is always a journey, but as of now, we don't know of any. So I think there was general surprise at it, but it was great that Mary and her team were able to come up to with this result. It was wonderful, actually.
Sure. Now, your book, Gold Frenzy, obviously there's geology in it, but there's great stories. What else could people expect if they were going to go and buy this book?
Well, if they buy the book, they can find out, of course, about the original story and all of that. But they can find out a fair bit about how we treat our natural resources and how we've done that in the past 200 years. For example, in the 19th century, commentators began to get a little bit uncomfortable and indeed sniffy with wealth generated from what was regarded as a speculative metal in gold.
Okay.
And even the great Sir Robert Kane, who was so influential in advocating the use of our natural resources, he actually stopped short of promoting investment at Gold Mines River, and he admonished Irish people to learn from the work ethic of our successful English neighbours. And in fact, there's a kind of a reflection here, side strain of the parable of the labourers in the vineyard, you know? Do you remember the guys, they arrived at the final hour and they received just as much as those who laboured all day?
Mm.
Actually, I'm not sure we're entirely comfortable with that parable, you know?
Yes,
but
indeed.
But anyway, moving to the end of the century, it was actually the nationalist leader, Charles Stewart Parnell, who kind of redeemed the reputation of gold by a very, very active interest in seeing mineral resources, particularly in Wicklow, developed. Now, his involvement, it was towards the end of his life when he was falling from grace, and a number of people felt that he was pointing to the mineral resources as a way of kind of offsetting his fall off in popularity.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, you know, he was quite strident about what he was saying. And indeed, posthumously, he wasn't well served by some of the writings of his family members. His wife and brother both wrote of his exploration activities as if they were kind of distractions that he was happy to take from the major decisions in his life and so forth. So
sure.
There you are. He was our most celebrated prospect.
Well, by the sound of it, Paddy, there's lots in there for people to get stuck into, and certainly I'll be going out and getting a copy. And where can we get it?
Well, it's available in a number of bookshops, including Dobre's, but it's also available on the sciencespin.com.
Sciencespin.com, yeah.
And also from the shop at Geological Survey in Beggars Bush.
In Beggars Bush in Dublin 4, yeah. Okay, or Dublin 2, is it?
It's Dublin 4, it is.
Dublin 4, okay.
But Dobre's are more widely spread, of course.
Sure, okay. Well, thanks very much, Pater. And, you're obviously having an active retirement if you're writing books and stuff. So we'll be in touch again perhaps soon.
Thank you, Sean. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you indeed.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. That was Pater McArdle. He was telling us about the gold frenzy that hit Ireland for 1 month in the late 1790s after a nugget of gold was found in the Wicklow Hills.